Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. We are waiting for Todd Monken to hit the podium. Could happen any second here. Just a couple other headlines going on in sports before we get out to Berea and Todd Monken. AP has released their college football poll, and for the first time in 65 years, the Big Ten has the top two teams. Ohio State is number one with 40 first-place votes, and Oregon is in second with 14 first-place votes. So not a real surprise there, too. It's the first time in 65 years and just the second time ever that the Big Ten has had the number one and number two teams in the preseason top 25. I wish that actually meant something, right? Like, you're not getting t-shirts. Preseason team number one t-shirts. Let's go.
I'm sorry.
Big Ten. Woohoo. 1-2.
You mentioned Oregon and the Big Ten?
Yeah.
Huh.
I was just out in Big Ten country. Washington,
out in
Oregon.
Big Ten country.
Washington, Oregon.
Did you make your way down to those other Big Ten powerhouses out there?
It was a stone's throw away to Iowa. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. It's not like Washington's tucked away in the corner of the United States.
Yeah, goodness gracious.
Oh, they still get credit for it, though. So
yeah,
Then there was another headline. Again, we're waiting for Todd Monken to hit the podium. Could happen any second here. NBA, this is shocker, Jeff. Hang on a second. Hold on. NBA, this is ESPN again, too. NBA has no evidence Ballmer, Steve, funneled money to Leonard, Kawhi, through sponsors, via sponsors, is their headline. Are we surprised? Does that mean the trade goes through here then? Leonard ends up in Toronto and we're good to
tuned.
Go?
Stay tuned. Never know. Stay tuned.
NBA has found no evidence showing the LA Clippers owner Steve Ballmer funneled money through team sponsors to pay Kawhi Leonard in order to circumvent salary cap.
See no evil?
That's true. You got to see it, right? It's like a referee that misses a really bad call, and you're like, hey, how did you miss that? I didn't see it. Well, that means that maybe it didn't really happen. Is that the argument we're using here? All right, Todd Monken.
We looked, Andy. We didn't find
anything. I didn't see anything. I was looking. I mean, sure, I should have looked underneath the mattress, but, I mean, you know, to me, I thought it was just a box spring and a mattress put together.
Sure.
I couldn't tell the difference.
By the way, when Todd shows up, all press conferences on 92.3 The Fan, brought to us by Expert Renovations, expertrenovationsllc.com.
Where are we going with Todd today?
I'll bet they talk about the quarterback, Andy.
Well, Anthony made a good point this morning as I was kind of perusing through their show a little. And then he had said, you know, Monken seems like he's on a different page than maybe the fan.
Gentlemen,
bases.
We now go live to Berea for Browns head coach Todd Monken.
And all of you being on Zoom. And I just got to say, I'm like, couldn't just do it out of my office? I'd have
a nice backdrop.
Gregory Industries.
Dylan Sampson. It looks like you're really training him as a third down receiver. Which he didn't do last year very much or at Tennessee. So how's he filling in for that?
Well, he's electric with the ball in his hands. So how do we get that to him? I think over time he's going to be a guy that's a tough matchup. He's learning how to, wasn't really what they did at Tennessee, great point, where we can get him to, when he gets matched up on a linebacker, be an advantage for us. I think he has that in him. You saw the catch he made on the sideline on a scramble inside here a week ago. So there's a lot there to like now. As we get to practice and we get in games, can he hold up in protection? That's the biggest thing, because it's one thing to say you're a matchup. It's another to say, okay, how am I going to hold up when I've got to protect a blitzing linebacker, safety off the edge, Kyle Hamilton comes off the edge, and we need you to really stick him. That's where it'll come down to.
Todd, with Casey, you saw the punt return obviously on Saturday. How do you guys have a sense going in, like how much of that will be doing during the season?
Well, from what we saw when we drafted him and then getting him here, I hope we're trying to get him the ball as often as we can. I mean, that dude is explosive. He's tough. He's got great contact balance. He's understands situational football. Part of that is punt return. You know, we talked about it, you know, before the game, like, do we want to put him back? Do we want to put him at risk? Well, it's our only away game. If he's going to do it in Jacksonville, let's get him one there. Even if we want to have him fair catch it, thank God we didn't go down that road, right? Let him be explosive, right? I mean, that's, we got to find a number of ways to get him the ball, again, with his explosiveness, his quickness, his contact balance. So whether that's punt return, kick return, screens, shallows, down the field routes, he's going to be a real weapon for us.
With the guy like him, and I'm sure you've had, I know you've had other guys like this in your career, is a play caller, do you go into a game with like a number in mind that we have to get this guy the ball X number of times?
You do, and then games change, right? You have a certain amount, and it goes a certain way, and you end up running it more than throwing it. Or it goes the other way, and you're behind, and the wideouts are happy, and the running backs are pissed, right? It's one or the other, right? So it's like you go into it saying, okay, who are our touch guys? But a lot of times the defense decides that. So he is one of those guys. The reason you can use him as a touch guy because you can use him in a variety of ways, right? You can hand it to him. You can throw a screen to him. Certain other guys aren't nearly as much volume because they're more route running guys. They're not really return type styles. So that makes it a little bit harder to say, I want to get this many touches.
How valuable,
I mean, even going back to Dylan, because he's probably one of those touch guys, right? How valuable are those guys when you are kind of hunting some of those matchups and trying to find that stuff, even for, you know, more traditional type players?
Sure. Well, our job is to find out what our players do really well. What are they elite at? They made it to the NFL because of a trait that they had. Now, how do we develop and round out their skill set, right? That's what coaching is and development is. And so how are we able to get players with an elite skill set to do what they do best without being so tendency-oriented, but that's all you do when they're in? Does that make sense? Like, how do you get them in your rotation and utilizing them that allows you to function at a really high level? And that's what I really like about Sam. I think he's going to be an explosive player. You just got to get him in space.
Todd, you mentioned that you were going to be talking to Joe Brady yesterday, and I know you guys are mostly kind of working through the practice schedule, but did you guys kind of talk about the starters and the plans for the actual game? And then if he's not going to start any of his starters, how might that impact what you do?
Well, we both talked about that if we see out of our ones, our group, our older players, what we want to see on Thursday, they would not play in the game. We agreed upon that. Okay, the plan is that we'll play our ones a significant amount against each other, right, on Thursday in a controlled environment. Not that the other guys aren't going to get reps, but in a controlled environment and see where we're at. I would assume if it's anything like we've practiced before, that it'll be on point with what we want and what we see, and then we get to see where we stack up against one of the premier teams over the last 10 years making the playoffs. I'm excited for that because in that practice we get to see our ones against ones, right? And so that's going to be fun. I got a lot of respect for Joe and the staff there and what Sean initially started and where Joe's trying to take it. And hopefully they're going to have a lot of respect for the way we play and the way we practice and handle ourselves.
Todd, I know answer injury questions, but hear me out. Special injuries missed 9 practices in a quarter of the game. Is there a reason to be concerned about that, or are you just being overly cautious?
I would stick to the latter. You know, just being overly cautious. We're hopeful that we'll get him back next week. But we're just being overly cautious. Do not see it then.
Hey, Todd. Luke Floria caught that nice pass from Junior. What have you seen from Floria here?
Well, all he does is come out and practice his rear end off and make plays when called upon. You know, a few weeks ago we ran that little around to him and I didn't even know he was in until he caught it, until he got it and hell ran away from dudes. I'm like, well, this guy's pretty good. I just love the way he plays football. Like, the guy loves football. And all he does is come out and compete every day and make plays when given opportunities.
Quinn John, stronger beer, probably a guy you want to get the ball to a lot. Also a guy that you want to keep healthy and ideally, you know, maybe he peaks as the weather gets worse. How can you do both of those things?
It's hard. Luckily, we had a really strong offseason. When the guys came back, we've practiced hard. And I think what we've seen through that is we made it through the game the other day pretty unscathed, which is, again, shouldn't say anything because we play again this week. But again, I think we're calloused, and you can see that. Quinshawn played a little more than we would have wanted. Saturday, we went three and out the first drive, unfortunately. So we wanted to get him back in there. One more drive with the O-line. And then once we got the next drive, we took them out, the older players. Wanted to see Spencer and some of the younger wideouts. But Q's a real weapon, man. He's a bull. He is tough as hell. We didn't really block anybody, and somehow he got 8 yards. You know, so that'll tell you.
Hearing from Jared today, and we talked to him about his talking and sort of how it motivates him, and he hopes it motivates his teammates. But the sort of talking he does coupled with the way he rushes with that power, is he just a guy that can wear down opposing offenses?
I think that's a good way of putting it. I do think he's a guy that backs it up. Like, he's not a phony. He's highly competitive, and it gets him going. His juices start flowing, and he's a self-made guy, man. Like, and he just wants to be great. He just wants to be elite and help his team win, and it's fun to be around. It's contagious because he backs it up. Like, he only knows one speed, and that is what's fun to be around, a guy that backs it up.
He also mentioned that
go ahead.
He also mentioned that the difference he's seen in this camp to the other couple he's been in is the heavy load. He mentioned physically and mentally. I'm curious, how do you think your mostly young roster has handled everything you put on him in these first couple of weeks?
First of all, they've been awesome. I mean, I said it before. I mean, what's really cool is they let me be me. They just do. And I'm not perfect, but they let me be me and coach them and be authentic and be honest with them. And they're honest with themselves. And so that's been really fun. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit harder just because that's what I know. I don't know the other way. It's not that the other way's better or this one's better. I only know what I know. So you're always trying to look at, and then other ways people do it. But then, okay, where are we at? I've pulled back on days. We've gone helmets. We've gone an hour and a half. We haven't just stayed with the schedule of what I set up. But our guys have really accepted it. Our coaches have done a great job of managing the reps. I like to keep the practice the same. Just manage the reps. It's fine. We don't have vet days off. Come on out there. Put your gear on. And then we'll manage your reps. Because we're a team. That's what a team does.
As you self-assessed your own performance on Saturday, what did you like? What did you feel like this, you know... Yeah, this is something that, you know, my first time as an NFL head coach in a game, I need to really, you know, I still need to get adjusted.
Well, first I got to get a gauge before they pull the flag out of where the 50-yard line is, because I wasn't sure. And, you know, the fans, like the people that holding the flag, they pulled it out, and I didn't know, like, was that the 45? It was almost like the quarterback going under the guard instead of the center. I was trying to figure that out. So that was pretty cool, figuring that out, to get that straight. Joking aside, calling it was not that difficult. We're on the field. That was not difficult. The interesting thing is, and I saw Ken around here, he's sneaking around here somewhere, and I was telling him that when you're in between series, it's the same when I was at Southern Miss, like, okay, you're in between series, you're trying to balance. This was really cool, like, all right, I'm on the headset with Rudy. He's a new D coordinator, right? What are they calling? I want to be dialed in. Do we need to throw a flag, right? I want to hear the offensive staff. What's the next drive going to look like? You want to look at the surface. What just happened? You might want it's in between the series where you're like, all right, man, there's a lot more. You work through just being honest, and it was cool. I mean, obviously being back home, and I felt very calm. Everything was fine. Didn't finish the way we wanted, but I love the way our guys competed. And there's a lot of those things you work through, and there just is, whether it's how you warm up, how you prepare, certain things that we did during the game.
Todd, how would you feel if Andrew can ramp up Za'Darius Smith and bring him to the fold? How would you feel about adding Za'Darius Smith?
Well, I'm not going to comment about that. I really don't know where it's at, so I'll leave that to Andrew.
The joint practices have been sort of they've gotten more and more prominent over the years for teams this time of year. Are you somebody who subscribes to the idea that, like, the joint practices are maybe a better evaluation tool for your team, your roster, all that, than even preseason games?
somewhat. They're both, to me, important. If coaches weren't afraid of getting their guys hurt, there's no way they would say that a joint practice is like a game. There's no way. Because everything matters when you're stacking plays. Unless we move the ball, which we're going to at the end against them, there are no consequences. There aren't consequences for a trip. Luckily, we overcame it. But there isn't a damn game, right? Or being down on the clock, or coming out of the tunnel as a rookie, right? Like, right, taking the field, the jitters of that. Number one, KC catching a punt on the. Does that make sense? Like, there's so much value in it, and then you have to weigh the injury factor, right? You just have to, you have to weigh that. I think Coach Harbaugh got, you know, in 1 year they lost J.K. Dobbins and Justice Hill in the preseason. Well, what are you going to do then? You sure as hell aren't going to play the starters anymore, for God's sakes. You've been scarred, right? We all get scarred in life. But no one's going to say that a controlled environment's better in a game. But if you're going to play one-on-ones, it's pretty damn close, if that makes sense. You'd love to play your guys, and still, it used to be what? Play a quarter, play a half, start the third quarter, and then no one plays. And I thought that was really cool. You got a little bit of both. Okay, I know I rambled there, but it's like, you want to see it against the ones, and you'd love in a game environment to really kind of get it all.
That's kind of a two-part question. Do you intend to use the third game as like a dress rehearsal game?
Not there yet. I'm leaning towards that, but I'm not there yet. We'll see how we practice Thursday, and then we'll see how we play on Saturday.
So the follow-up question to that would be, you know...
Couldn't leave it there, could you? No.
Would it be fair to expect that decision is moving?
Oh, you're putting words in my mouth. I wouldn't say that. Would I like to have a decision today? Of course. Would I like a decision by next Monday? Of course. Oh, I'd love to have that decision. And we'll see. We've got a lot of football this week. We've already had a lot of football. We've got 4 days of practice and a game. That all adds into any decision with the roster and who the starters are. Some are further along than others, right? We already know. That's part of it. And I'm okay. By the time we get to next week, that'd be great. We can start planning that way, have some practices, and then here we go against Jacksonville.
Two more here.
Will Watson play the third quarter?
He will. Yes, it'll be Shador, just like we did the other day. And if one continues, like Shador went into the fourth quarter, we'll do the exact same thing. He was so excited he went back out there again. I said, no, Dylan's out there. Get off the damn field.
Is there a world, though, in which if you get enough, like, really, really good one-on-one work versus the Bills on Thursday, could you possibly pivot from that with Deshaun playing the third quarter, or are you definitely
Oh, that's the way it's going to go. Shador, it's probably going to go that way. I'm not going to paint myself in the corner. Shador's going to play the first half. Deshaun will play the third quarter. Dylan will play the fourth quarter as we speak right now.
Thank you.
That was it? Thank you.
All right. Well, at least you know the rundown for Saturday's preseason game. Let's get more into this here in a moment. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Broadcasting from the 92.3 The Fan studios, fueled by True North Convenience Stores. This is where Cleveland comes to talk Browns football. We are Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan, WKRK-FM and HD1 Cleveland Heights. In Odyssey Sports Station.
92.3 The Fan.
Browns return to work in Berea today as they get ready to welcome the Bills to town for a joint practice later this week. In speaking with the media today, Todd Monken said he and Bills head coach Joe Brady have agreed the first teams will play a significant amount against each other during the joint practice. The two sides will face off for their second preseason game of the year on Saturday over at Huntington Bank Field. Some transactional news, the Browns have signed tight end Jermaine Terry, who initially signed with the Giants as an undrafted free agent last year, but was waived with an injury designation. In a corresponding move, the team has waived Brendan Bates. Guardians dropped their fifth straight series over the weekend after losing 2-3 to the Padres. The team has the day off today before continuing their homestand tomorrow with a three-game set against the Giants. No word yet on whether or not Chase DeLauter will be back in the lineup tomorrow. The outfielder left Sunday's game with a sore left hamstring. The team said they pulled him out of an abundance of caution. Some other baseball news, the Giants are reportedly calling up lefty Matt Wilkinson. San Francisco acquired Wilkinson from the Guardians in exchange for Patrick Bailey. He was the 10th round pick out of JUCO, and so far this season has given up 59 hits, over 90 innings of work while striking out 96. The Cleveland Browns preview show is back tonight at 7 o'clock. You can catch tonight's preview show immediately following Afternoon Drive right here on the radio home of the Browns, 92.3 The Fan. Headline sports news every 20 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. From the University Hospital Sports Desk, I'm Meredith Kane.
sign up to be a part of the Fan Club. Download the free Odyssey app and follow 92.3 The Fan to get all of the best audio and best stories sent straight to your inbox. 92.3TheFan.com.
We are looking for a winner right here at 92.3 The Fan. Enter the code word CHICKEN. Chicken, C-H-I-C-K-E-N. At 92.3TheFan.com before 2 o'clock for your chance to win a 4-pack of combo meals from Mr. Hero. There's something for everyone to crave with the legendary Roman burger, hot buttered cheesesteak, a variety of steak sandwiches, chicken, deli subs, over 8 sidekicks, and more. Mr. Hero has all your cravings covered. Order in-store or online at MrHero.com. MrHero.com. It's all from Mr. Hero and Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. Again, chicken at 92.3TheFan.com before 2 o'clock.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. He is Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. Dan Menigan is here. Meredith Kane giving you the 2020s. And you are here, too, as well. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. We've had the chance to hear from Scott Petrak today from the Chronicle-Telegram. That was at 11 o'clock from BrownZone.com. Tyvis Powell is coming up in less than 20 minutes. He's our partner on the Browns Radio Network, whether it's pre- or post-game. And then you just heard Todd Monken's press conference, as we do each and every day, especially here during camp. Are we still in camp, technically? Yeah, we're still in camp. We're in camp until after.
That's true. Until after the Buffaloes?
I think so, yeah.
Practice?
Although all of the open-to-the-public practices are through. If you missed a moment in our show, use that rewind feature on the Odyssey app. It is powered by Integrated Restoration, your local experts in water, fire, and storm disaster restoration. Integrated Restoration's our friends who like to power the rewind feature. Again, 216-474-0092. All right, Jeff, so let's go back and talk a little bit about what Todd Monken had to say. Again, he did lay out exactly what we're going to see on Saturday in the next preseason game against Buffalo. Shadour will play the first half. Deshaun will get the third quarter. And Dylan Gabriel will get the fourth quarter.
And Taylen Green will apparently get water or something.
Maybe they'll give him the last series of down. I got to
believe. We'll see him in game three.
Don't you think if Shadour came out there and they scored on their first three drives, you still think you get the whole first half? Like, I think if he came out.
That's what
he said. Yeah, I know. Because I thought it was interesting that Monken brought up the way we used to do that in these preseason games and how you were able to kind of stretch it out. I also thought it was interesting. Someone said, will Saturday's game be the dress rehearsal? Or were they talking about New England at that point? Did you catch that, Dan? Somebody asked the question, will it be? It was a real quick question in the background. And he goes, I haven't made up my mind yet on that. So that means that while there'll be interesting things done in Thursday's joint practice, that he still values and feels like there's importance about the preseason game on Saturday.
It's delightful.
There are a lot of folks that would say, and we've heard it for the last week, hey, what's more important? And a lot of people think it's it's what's going to happen on Thursday in the joint practice.
Jared first said that, basically.
Yeah, because it's one-on-one. That's why. And Todd talked about that, too, saying, look, we get to put our ones up against their ones, and that's what's important here. What'd you get out of it?
Yeah, I just want them to get through this thing. Don't lose anybody who's key with injury and pick a quarterback. I know we have to talk about this for 4 hours a day. It's a privilege, and I'm happy to do that. But just pick a quarterback and let's go.
He said something we had to tweak out just a little bit there because he used a word they're probably not supposed to use. But he said, let's just get going with it. You know, I think he thinks the same way you do. I think he just wants to pick a quarterback and go at this point. But he knows he owes it to the guys, I think. He doesn't
do you
owe
really?
No, he doesn't owe anything to anybody.
That's what I think.
But I do think he feels like there's a sense of responsibility as a head coach to live up to your word and say, this is going to be a competition. I told you this is what I wanted to do with the quarterbacks. Again, he always has the
he
right
to. He also didn't say how long that competition would last.
Well, he was hoping that it didn't even come into camp.
Exactly right. And he said, I'm not going to back myself into a corner, but this is the plan for now. It'll always change.
We're just hearing too many things out of Berea from people that I think we trust that it still has not been decided. I heard Ken say it this morning. That's why I'm kind of being respectful on this, that Kenneth made it sound like when they were going to break at one point that Deshaun is the quarterback. Deshaun is the starting quarterback. Now, look, I've said for more than a year now that don't be surprised if Deshaun is your starting quarterback when the season starts. And look where we are. We're right there right now, and this could happen, especially when people had just completely written him off. And I mean, like, I got haters on social media going, have you watched the last 4 years? Yeah, I've watched the last 4 years. I have. I get it. I understand it. But I also know that when, you know, I buy something, I want it to work. And I'll do whatever it takes, even if I've got to pay to get it fixed again and again and again to try to get it to work. I want it to work. There's way too much invested into Deshaun Watson. There just is. And I can't overlook that when it comes to the opportunity to be the starting quarterback against Jacksonville.
What has been reported to this point, guys, is that Deshaun Watson, from the huddle to the formation, is the superior quarterback. The minute the ball is snapped, Shedeur Sanders has been the superior quarterback. That's what's been reported by people who have come through camp. And I think that's why this quarterback competition is at a bit of a standstill.
And if you have good play elsewhere on your offense and your quarterback does all the stuff that he's supposed to do, and he gets the snap and he turns around and he hands it to Quinshon Judkins, who Todd obviously loves, and the line does the job, your offense looks good. That's why I would expect Deshaun to start at this point, but you never know. But we'll see. You don't want to be discombobulated. That'll get you turnovers, and that'll get you in trouble.
No, and then the other point that was that I caught criticism for was that I thought that, you know, if Deshaun goes out and he's effective, people aren't going to boo him. And I don't even know where we're at that. But to be honest with you, if he goes out there and is effective, Deshaun, in the second half, and throws a couple touchdown passes, you're not going to boo. You're just going to, if you really don't like him, you're going to slip into apathy. That's where you're going to be on this thing. You're not going to be, if he's helping the rest of the team move forward, especially in the second half at home, because a lot of people are making a big deal about the fact that, like, well, it makes more sense to start Deshaun on the road because that way you won't get booed by the fans who don't like him.
We mentioned that.
Yeah, but it's just one of those. It's rabbit ears. And you know as well as I do, if he comes out there and they're, say they beat Jacksonville week one and Sean's a starter, that you're going to be, oh, really? Then they go, what, Tampa after that, right? And then maybe they beat Tampa 2 weeks, and then Baker Mayfield, right? I mean, now all of a sudden you'll change your mind real quick. We all know it. We get it. Like, as much as the backup quarterback is always the fan favorite here, if you're a quarterback that can help this team win games, sorry, you'll erase the pass. I know you will, because you want the wins. The wins now are more important than the misery that you've had in the past. Is that the read you're getting? Like, what else did you get out of Monken that you might be able to read into what we're saying?
Honestly, Andy, nothing. I thought he just kind of kept things right down the middle, and we'll see what he decides. A lot of football this week. If he can make a decision next week, great. If he can't wait, make a decision next week, then what the heck's going on? Come on, man.
If he doesn't make a decision next week, they're getting ready to trade guys out. If he's not, if he's like, we're still up in the air. We're going to wait until after New England. If that's the case, I think you're looking at a trade like immediately following or immediately before New England. That they want to. Do you think they need to bring in another quarterback?
Do they need to? No.
Will they?
No. Should they have some time ago? Yeah, probably. Look, I've made it real clear what I think of the quarterback group. Hopefully they play better, which the young guy certainly could as they get better. I still think the most intriguing guy on the roster, quarterback wise, it's Shedeur, closely followed by Talen Green, and we're not gonna see Talen. You know, I want to see that skill set, and I'm just curious to see if they can do anything with it. I don't know that they can. But come on, man. That guy's intriguing as all get out.
Dan, do they need to bring another quarterback?
God, no. There's no one available that's any better than what you're watching right now.
Do you think one of these guys is getting traded?
I don't think so, due to the fact that, one, you're stuck with, and the other is cheap. And so you kind of need to fill out these rooms somehow with some level of talent, and especially if those backups are going to be of the low-priced variety.
And if you're looking at 2027, what difference does it make?
Yeah.
I hate to say that.
Not to mention most time to run the most amount of what Todd Monken would want to run and see what this offense looks like. I think going out there and dumpster diving for another quarterback solves nothing.
I do wonder if you put a poll out there for Browns fans right now, and they could vote for Watson, Sanders, Gabriel, sorry, Jeff, or other.
Other.
How do you think other would do?
Otto Graham is not available, Andy.
How do you think other would do? I think other
would get more than 50% of the votes. No, I take that back. Shadur would get about 70% of the votes.
And then
other would get maybe 10, 15, 20.
All right, we'll kick that.